Let us turn in our Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 10. Revelation, chapter 10. And we'll start with verse 1. John says, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot upon the earth." Let's read verse 11. "And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings." The name of my sermon today is Prophesy Again. And the purpose of my sermon is to give you a study, not an exhaustive study, but a study on Revelation 10, chapter 10, and how it applies to each of you personally. First, I want to talk about this mighty angel. The word angel, as we understand it, is commonly used to refer to the heavenly beings known as the cherubim or the seraphim. In the Old Testament, when you find the word angel, the underlying Hebrew word translated as angel is malach, which means messenger. When you read the New Testament, the underlying Greek word is angelos. Angelos means messenger also. Angelos is where our word angel is derived from. So angel literally means messenger. Now, when I read the Bible, I believe that it refers to a cherub or a seraph, unless the context suggests otherwise. Let's read what the chapter says about this angel. Again, John says, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun." Let's stop there for a moment. Let me read to you, stay where you are in Revelation, let me read to you from the Gospel of Matthew. Speaking of the Mount of Transfiguration, it reads, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light." So it says that Jesus' face did shine as the sun. That's one thing this angel has in common with our Lord Jesus. His face was, as it were, the sun. But we won't jump to a conclusion there. Let's turn to chapter 1 of Revelation. Chapter 1, we'll start with verse 13. It reads in Revelation 1, starting with verse 13, "And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and gird about the paps with a golden girdle." So this is talking about the Son of Man, Jesus, verse 15. "And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength." So again, his countenance was as the sun. And notice another similar description. It says in verse 15 that his feet were like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, similar to the angel having feet as pillars of fire. So the mighty angel or mighty messenger speaking to John in chapter 10 matches descriptions of Jesus Christ. But we won't stop there. Let's look at another description. Back to Revelation 10, verse 3. We'll read the beginning of verse 3. It reads, "And cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth." Stop there. So, like Jesus, he has a countenance like unto the sun, and he has feet that are pillars of fire, like Jesus having feet like unto brass burning in a furnace. And he has a voice like when a lion roars. Let's turn to chapter 5 of Revelation. Chapter 5, verse 5. It reads, "And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." Now, don't worry about the seven seals or the book mentioned here or even the elders mentioned here. We're just going to focus on one person introduced here. It says, "Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David." So this person called the Lion of the tribe of Judah is also called the Root of David. Let's find out who else is the Root of David. Let's turn to chapter 22. Revelation 22, verse 16. It reads in Revelation 22, 16, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the Root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star." Notice what Jesus said. "I am the Root and the offspring of David." Now think about it. The Lion, this is called substitution. The Lion of the tribe of Judah is the Root of David. Jesus is the Root and the offspring of David. The Lion of the tribe of Judah is Jesus. They're one and the same. And the mighty angel in Revelation 10 has Jesus' countenance, it has his voice, and it has and his feet are described in a similar way to Jesus' feet in chapter 1. That mighty angel is Jesus. Let me read to you a statement from Inspiration. Seventh Bible Commentary 971 says, "The mighty angel who instructed John was no less a personage than Jesus Christ." So that mighty angel or mighty messenger is Jesus speaking to John. Let's go back to chapter 10 of Revelation, verse 2. Revelation 10, verse 2. It reads, "And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth." Now, when you pick up a book, before you open it, before the book is open, what is it before that? What's the opposite of open? Closed. Exactly. So he's holding a little book open, which had previously been closed or sealed. You do find in the Old Testament more than one place where there's a book that is sealed. But we'll go to the book of Daniel. Let's turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 12. We'll read verses 4 and 9. Daniel 12, 4 and 9. Daniel chapter 12, verses 4 and 9. It reads, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." Same chapter, verse 9. "And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end." So the book of Daniel is one of the books you read about in the Old Testament being sealed. But we won't jump to our conclusion yet. Stay where you are in Daniel chapter 12. In addition to having been sealed, the book of Daniel is also known for giving us time prophecies. I'll tell you a little later why I'm bringing this up. Time prophecies. But let me just mention what they are. In Daniel 7:25 and 12:7, you find the 1,260 days. That's a time prophecy. In Daniel 8:14, you find the longest one, the 2,300 days. In Daniel 12:11, you find the 1,290 days. In Daniel 12:12, you find the 1,335 days. Those are the time prophecies that you find in the book of Daniel. So when we get to back to chapter 10 of Revelation, I'll explain why I brought that up. In the meantime, let's read verses 5 to 7 in Daniel 12. It reads, "Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two." This is talking about Gabriel and Michael. "The one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, "How long shall it be to the end of these wonders?" And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, that it shall be for a time, times, and an half. This is the 1,260 days. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Now let's turn back to chapter 10 of Revelation. We will see a striking resemblance to what just happened, we just read in Daniel 12. So the book of Daniel, as mentioned, was a book that was a sealed book, and it also gave time prophecies. Revelation 10, and we'll start with verse 5. Revelation 10, verse 5. Now back to the mighty angel speaking to John in Revelation 10. It reads, "And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven." Watch the resemblance, friends. "And swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer." Notice, friends, this is just like what we read about in Daniel, only there's one major difference. One of the time prophecies was mentioned in Daniel 12:7. But this time, there's time no longer. Friends, this context is most definitely talking about the book of Daniel. Daniel was unsealed, and then there was time no longer. The time of the end given in Daniel 12:7 was 1798. That's when the 1,260-day prophecy ended. That's when the time of the end began. And then sometime after Daniel was unsealed in 1798, sometime after that, there would be time no longer. The longest time prophecy, the 2,300 days, ended October 22nd, 1844. Then there was time no longer. That is prophetic time. This is talking about the end of prophetic time. Then it says, "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets." So we are living in the days where we're waiting for the voice of the seventh angel to sound. John mentions in verse 7, the mystery of God. When you study God's word, let me share with you a helpful hint. The first thing you do is let a verse explain itself. If the verse doesn't explain something, let the chapter explain it. If the chapter doesn't explain it, let the book explain it. If that doesn't happen, go to another book by the same author. But if he doesn't explain it still, go to one of his contemporaries. And usually you don't have to go any farther. In this case, we'll go to the Apostle Paul. Keep in mind, John, you don't need to turn. Stay in Revelation. John wrote the book of Revelation, keep in mind, to the seven churches. One was the church of Ephesus, which was started by the Apostle Paul. The last one mentioned was the church of the Laodiceans. Now, I don't know if Paul started that church, but he did minister to the Laodiceans. Now, it says, when the seventh angel shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. It says, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. Remember what he said in Daniel 12:7, "And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished." So what about the mystery of God? I'll read from three places in the writings of the Apostle Paul. "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." That's Colossians 1:27. Another, And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Speaking of Jesus, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So even though that's 1 Timothy 3:16, even though the context is speaking about Jesus, it also shows us that the mystery of God, or mystery of godliness, includes one living a life without sin in the flesh. Jesus did that. And before Jesus comes again, his people will be living lives without sin in the flesh. Those who have the seal of God, they will be ready to stand before a holy God without an intercessor. And the mystery of godliness also includes being received up into glory. When does that happen to God's people? Second coming. One more place from Paul's writings. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. And when does he do that? Second coming, when he takes his people to heaven. And this mystery, friends, is definitely not finished. The Bible says when the seventh angel shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. Let's find out what happens primarily when the seventh angel sounds. Let's turn to Revelation 11, starting with verse 15. Revelation 11, verse 15. It reads, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven." Now keep in mind, Christ means Messiah. So when it says his Christ, that means his Messiah. "Great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." And when do the kingdoms of the world become Christ's? Second coming. This is talking about, this context is about the second coming. Verse 16, "And the 24 elders, which sat before God on their seats, fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come." This is definitely talking about something that happens in the future, friends. God's wrath has come. "In the time of the dead," that's the wicked, Revelation 20, "that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets." When does he reward every man according as his work shall be? Second coming. "And to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth." This is definitely talking about future events. What about verse 19? "And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail." We know from Revelation 15 that God's judgments are being made visible, being made manifest. In that chapter, John again sees the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony opened in heaven. But I'm going to read to you a paragraph from Inspiration. It's from 7th Bible Commentary, page 972. "When God's temple in heaven is opened, what a triumphant time that will be for all who have been faithful and true. In the temple will be seen the Ark of the Testament, in which were placed the two tables of stone, on which are written God's law. These tables of stone will be brought forth from their hiding place, and on them will be seen the Ten Commandments engraved by the finger of God. The tables of stone now lying in the Ark of the Testament will be a convincing testimony to the truth and binding claims of God's law." So again, the context of Revelation 11, 15 to starting with verse 15. Verses 15 to 19, is clearly talking about future events. And the mystery of God will be finished. when the seventh angel sounds. In the context, it tells us when? Second coming. Let's turn back now to Revelation 10. And friends, I hope that will be an experience that each one of us will have, being part of the mystery being finished. Revelation 10. Actually, before we start reading again from Revelation 10, let's turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 2, in the Old Testament. Ezekiel, chapter 2. Ezekiel had a similar experience to the one we'll be reading about in Revelation 10, the experience that John had. Ezekiel, chapter 2. We'll read verses 9 and 10 from Ezekiel 2. Ezekiel, chapter 2, 9 and 10. It reads, "And when I looked, behold, in hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, And there was written therein lamentations, mourning, and woe." So a book is presented to Ezekiel, just like in Revelation 10, a book is presented to John. And that book presented to John is Daniel. Chapter 3 of Ezekiel, verses 1 to 3. "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat this roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then I did eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness." All right, we'll stop right there. First of all, how do you eat? Now, keep in mind, this is a vision Ezekiel's having, just like John's having a vision in Revelation 10. But how do you eat the roll of a book? Stay where you are in Ezekiel. The prophet Jeremiah answers the question. Jeremiah says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." That's Jeremiah 15:16. So he's talking about eating God's words. Ezekiel's having that experience. Now, when he first ate the roll of the book, when he ate those words, how was it? In his mouth as honey for sweetness. It was sweet as honey. Isn't the word of God that same way to us, friends? But at the same time, the word of God calls us to be a peculiar people. When I say peculiar, I don't mean weird. I mean a people belonging to the Lord. That's the literal meaning of peculiar, belonging to. A people belonging to the Lord. And it does make us different from the world. What was the result? After Ezekiel enjoyed eating the words, and after they were honey, as honey for sweetness in his mouth, what happened? Verse 14, same chapter. "So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me." And that's the thing we have to remember. When it becomes bitter, we have to remember that the hand of the Lord is upon us. Now let's go back to Revelation 10 and read about John's experience. Ezekiel's job was to speak to the house of Israel, to show them their sins. We today have a mission, and that is to preach the gospel of the kingdom in all the world. When I say preach, I don't just mean to stand behind a pulpit preaching a sermon or a discourse. But the way we live, also the examples we set, the way we live, those things also preach or proclaim the gospel. The gospel of the kingdom mentioned in Matthew 24:14, which is the same as the three angels' messages of Revelation 14, 6 to 12. Revelation 10, starting with verse 8. "And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, Go, and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel, and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up. And it shall..." So John's going to eat the words now. "And it shall be, it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey." Same thing happened to Ezekiel. He eats the book of Daniel. It's sweet as honey in his mouth, but it makes his belly bitter. Back in the early 1800s, God's people, the Millerites, John is representing God's people here, and the Millerites did not understand that in 1844, Jesus would be entering the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary. They thought he was coming back to earth to cleanse this planet. They did not understand. So the word of God to them was sweet as honey, but then they suffered the great disappointment. The word of God became bitter in the bellies of God's people. And from that movement, God raised up his last day church. Verse 10, and I took the little book, John is representing God's people again, and I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. Because there's more to go through, friends. God's people still have more trials to pass through. It's not over yet. That's us, friends. Our journey hasn't ended yet. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. That's the mission of us, friends, the Seventh-day Adventists. We are to present the gospel before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Let's turn to Revelation 12:17. We're turning to three more places in the book of Revelation. Revelation 12:17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, talking about God's church, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. That's the Seventh-day Adventist, friends, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So God's people still have persecution to pass through. We are to have the experience that John had, to eat God's words. They are to be sweet as honey in the mouth, but bitter in the belly. But when that happens, we must remember that the hand of the Lord is upon us. And what is the testimony of Jesus Christ? Revelation 19:10 answers that. Let us turn there. As we all know, John more than once fell at the feet of the angel who was showing him these things, and the angel had to stop him. This is one of those places. Revelation 19:10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Those who keep the commandments of God and have the spirit of prophecy, that's us again, friends, the Seventh-day Adventists. We are to have that experience. God, again, God's word, including the book of Daniel, being in our mouth sweet as honey, but bitter in the belly. By God's grace, we can make it through. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We can make it through. And we can go up and possess the heavenly Canaan. Let us turn to Revelation 22. It takes a life of faith, a life of daily prayer. We need to remember, none of us are safe for a minute or an hour without prayer. We need it every day. And each one of us has a part to play in the Lord's vineyard. It might be just by our example. It might be just by having handed literature to others. But every one of us has a part to play in the Lord's vineyard. Every one of us has to somehow show our faith to others. Every one of us has to somehow testify that Jesus is coming again. And in conclusion, let's read Revelation 22, verses 20 and 21. John says, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. May God bless you as you continue your walk with him in this time of the end. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, We pray that as we leave this worship service, that your Spirit will continue to be our comforter and our teacher. And we thank you so much for sending the Holy Ghost to guide us. And we thank you so much for Jesus and his life, death, and resurrection, and that because of him we have the hope of eternal salvation. Thank you for giving us your Holy Scriptures and for the angels guarding us. And we ask that you help us to remain strong, faithful, and patient as we continue going through this life. Please continue giving us the strength to do your will. And we pray that you will help us to remain faithful and patient until the second coming of your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. These things we ask in his all-sufficient name. Amen.